Concealment and Investigation. There's a footnote. Schilder wrote this meditation at the time of the Silver Jubilee of Queen Wilhelmina's reign in September of 1923. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Proverbs 25, verse 2. Royalty is not much appreciated in our revolutionary times. To many people, an old proverb explains the origin of royalty in this way. The first man who obtained a king's crown on his head was a soldier, a champion, who was successful. In other words, throne and scepter are extensions of swords and clubs. According to this train of thought, it is the honor of a king to cut the knots as a seasoned soldier. For a soldier works just as Alexander, who cut the Gordian knot, which others could not disentangle, by his sword. The work of the sword is to solve every question by force. It cuts the knots in two. Royalty is supremacy and not superiority. But over against this understanding are the facts, life, and scripture. Indeed, also scripture. For scripture says that it is God's glory to tie the knots, to conceal a matter. But it is the glory of kings to disentangle the knots which God tied. It is their glory to search out a matter. That is the royalty maintained by the gospel over against the revolution. For there is undoubtedly gospel in these words. Over and against the terror in which the glory of God is concealed is the consolation of royalty, which is for the people and among the people. God's glory is in concealment. He did not show the origin of things to man. Who was his counselor when he created the heavens? Were you there when I created the heaven and the Leviathan? He asked in victory. Are things not made by him into hidden mysteries? Is not the past a mystery, a knot that cannot be disentangled? And are today and the future then not also the same? God conceals. That is his glory. For this reason, he is formidable, the terrible one. The numinous lies in his concealment. Let all the earth keep silence before him. For when he created the heavens, he did not allow you, O Son of Man, into his workshop. Your eyes were only opened when all the beginnings of things had passed. The awakening of man was, at the time of creation, the end of the beginning. For this reason man awoke to the knowledge that he walked in concealment. But the end of the hidden beginning became to man the beginning of the investigating end. As creature he is the end of God's concealment, but as image of God he is the beginning of the investigation, of the deep search. God has laid the desire to be king into his soul, and now man must investigate. He should evaluate things, analyze the relationships, and solve the riddles. He wants to disentangle knots and understands the animals according to their natures, in order to name them with authority. He wants to examine the rules of nature to increase the glory of his dominion over all the earth. God's concealments, that is terror. The searching of people, that is habitual. And now the gospel has come to us. For thus it remained, also after the fall into sin. God's concealments, after the fall, have become a torment. Woe unto us, for we are perishing. Yet, in his common grace, God still places the labor of investigation before the eyes of man. He also laid in fallen man the desire to search. Also that wandering man, that exile in his own kingdom, kept within himself the desire to bring light to the investigation of the night of secrets. And that power concentrated itself in authority, in kingship. It has the seats of judgment, and that kingship has been given by God to make the cursed life bearable, even more, to preserve and save it, to be later glorified in the eternal kingship of the Son of Man, as the particular revelation in the service of general revelation. Thus history is a riddle. God, when he worked, kept a hand before the eyes of man, but beckoned him with the other, and said, "Search and penetrate into life, have dominion and analyze it." Thus there is with God the concealment, the enclosure, the veil that is laid regarding things. With man, bound to the order of legitimate authority, there is the searching, the working, the veil which is lifted. God causes the dark and the king makes light. God generates storms and the king arranges the compass. God presents the riddle, also about sin, and the king must punish injustice. God gave Christ over in Pilate, but Caesar had to curse the Pilate mentality. God said to the man David, "Do not curse Shimei, the one who cursed," but King David had to curse the one who cursed and sought him. God conceals. He causes seals, seven seals, to conceal his book. But he looks back and says, "Who is worthy to open the book? Who can search it out?" And all the heavens will not rest before the great searcher comes and says that he is king and man, and that he searches and analyzes the history of every century, and thus has dominion over it and will break the seals. Thus kingship is painful. For who can make straight and who can make light what God has made crooked and dark? Not even the king. To be king means to be fighting against God. It is in its highest form the struggle of all submission. For God planted thorns and thistles and says to us, "Weed them out." But kingship is also grace. For God himself fights against God for our salvation. He restrains the curse and keeps open a way for grace. He keeps open the way by which the King of Glory will enter. And he does that by kingship. By fighting against him, kingship is cooperating with him. God conceals. Fear God. The king searches. Honor that king. Behind him stands the Christ of God, in whom the concealment of God and the searching of people is fulfilled. And when we see Christ, this proverb is alive in everything. Thus, Israel had to examine, search, and make diligent inquiries, Deuteronomy 13 verse 14, whether there was any criminal propagation. And God, the Omnipotent One, allowed it. The law searches and omnipotence conceals. Thus Saul at Endor, when he gave up the examining and deep searching by cutting in two the knots which God did not disentangle for him, "Yahweh no longer answers me," had to hear from the realm of the dead the judgment that his kingship, when it no longer did search, had to yield. Only deep searching would have been his glory. And only thus it had to end up in Christ. Indeed, Ezekiel 39 is then a contrast to Revelation 11. For the people of God, the theocracy, with the ideal kingship, will have to dig graves in the last days. It has to purify the land, even of the dead bodies of Gog. It needs to search deeply. There's a footnote here. The same word as used in our text. In Dutch, Proverbs 25 verse 2 has the word doorgronden, literally see through, penetrate, search to the very bottom. And Ezekiel 39 verse 14 has the word onderzoek, literally research, investigate. Note that in his translation, Schilder applies the end of Ezekiel 39 verse 14 not as the end of 7 months, but as deeply search to the very end. It needs to search deeply to the very end and fight against evil, against Gog. But God, in the age of the great concealment, allows in the last days the dead bodies of his witnesses to lie unburied and despised in the city, which is spiritual, called Sodom and Egypt. He conceals, yet fully maintains his command to us to deeply search and investigate. For only the researching of revealed things is the preservation of living with the pain of concealments. It is this law that we see also in the House of Orange in days of festivities. For also William of Orange did not cut the knots. Instead, he prayed to God, "Let me search deeply and light a light in the darkness. Let me, O concealing God, let me drive the plagues that try us and tyranny away." And to the people he said, "Let us search deeply to the very end and not touch the anointed of the Lord, King Philip II of Spain. Before God allows us, let us not violate the concealment of God. The King of Spain I've granted my lifelong loyalty." He still honored the king, the fight of David against Saul, and that tradition has been preserved up to the present day. The House of Orange has never put their honor in the nimbus of highness, which in concealment would place the king as the god above and outside the people. That honor of transcendental sovereignty they have left to their God in prayer. Instead, they themselves have been oppressed with the oppressed and understood kingship and dominion as the reflection of the immanent compassion which, over against the wounds which God struck, sought the balsam of the Lord, the covenant God. They sought, over against the injustice that God allowed in concealment, the fundamental rights by which one can see through the matter. We give thanks for that. Our life in society has experienced in the House of Orange what the glory and honor of kings is, in God's common grace. And now that we celebrate, we are indeed on the way to the age of the great concealment, and people will refuse to dig a grave for those who fear the God of Father William. If the House of Orange will still exist at that time, it also will have to choose, with a more painful necessity than that of William the Silent. But as long as we have breath, we want to bury Gog. And it is an honor for the Netherlands that its royal house called with us upon the name of the Lord, and that it has honored him who is Kabod Yahweh, not the honor of a concealing God, but the one who announced himself as a revelation of God to man, Christ Jesus, our Lord. For the hidden things are for the Lord our God, but the revealed things are for us and for our children, in order to search. It is by that searching that we are not consumed.